Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, July 24th. Forgot to click the news ticker on. There we go. Yo, it's morning somewhere. Apologies for the late start today. We're going live at 2 o'clock Eastern, which might be a somewhat common theme over the next week and a half, at least until the trade deadline. We got so much to discuss today. Obviously, the Yankees begin a three-game weekend set with the Philadelphia Phillies. 10-game road trip begins. Phillies, White Sox, Cubs. We'll touch on that series a little bit towards the end, but we got Lombard to discuss. We got some more trade deadline updates to discuss. And yeah, I think let's get right into it. Click like in the stream if you don't mind. Does help out a great deal. We're live Monday through Friday with the Morning Yankee Show, in this case, the Afternoon Yankee Show. But again, might be a somewhat common theme, at least not typically our morning showtime going over the next week and a half. Anyways, let's get into it, yo. So obviously, yesterday, a lot of us got very excited, and it would have made yesterday morning show age very nicely, because we were talking about how Lombard is very close. I said that I think 99.5% chance, 0.9%, whatever you want to say, shortstop for the Yankees come August. And I was saying 65% chance it's this month in July. At the very least, I believe he's going to be our starting guy come October. Well, obviously, we were all kind of keeping our eyes peeled towards the Rail Riders social media accounts yesterday and seeing if he was going to be in the lineup or not. And they didn't drop it until about 6 o'clock. And he was not in the lineup. We all start freaking out. Turns out it was just a scheduled day off for Lombard. And, you know, the Rail Riders had a little bit of fun posting the picture of him in the dugout saying, guys, he's right here. Cute. Anyways, nonetheless, obviously he's not up right now. But John Heyman does report in the New York Post that Lombard is expected to be brought up within the next 2 weeks. Now, that's the report we're talking about here, is what Heyman said yesterday. Is that definitive that that is going to be the case? Well, depends how much you trust John Heyman. Fairness and credit where it's due, Heyman is a valid reporter in baseball. He does know what he's talking about. And a lot of times, like more often than not, like John Heyman is correct. He's just kind of a funny guy and gets turned into a meme sometimes. But nonetheless, he's reporting that within the next 2 weeks, Lombard will be up. And with that, what are the repercussions here? First thing I want to say, obviously, is this would be exciting and very hype. But I've been hearing a lot on sports talk radio, particularly Evan and Tiki and Evan Roberts, who I respect. Evan Roberts, he's one of the few guys on sports talk radio that actually like talk sports, especially on WFAN, which is quite refreshing. I like Sean Morash too. But Evan's been using the point of why Lombard possibly won't be called up, with the fact of once he's placed in the 40-man roster, if there is indeed a lockout next year, then he would not be able to play minor league baseball. Because once you're officially on the 40-man, you're considered, at least in the business, as a big leaguer. So he would be a part of next year's lockout, meaning he would not be able to play minor league baseball. I think that's a very, with all due respect to Evan Roberts, silly reason to even assume that would lead the Yankees to not calling Lombard up. If they think he is ready, maybe it won't be today, maybe it won't be next week, but if they think he's ready and it's going to have an impact on this team this year, that's going to happen. Not because of if there's not baseball next year, they still want Lombard to be able to play in the minor leagues. There's some also other, you know, caveats with the rookie of the year voting. If, you know, they wait a certain amount of time and he wins rookie of the year voting next year, they get like an extra draft pick. That's all. I appreciate the overanalyzing, and I do that, I guess, more than anybody in many cases, I understand. But Lombard is coming. That is what we know. That is definitive. I can tell you that concrete. We will be seeing George Lombard Jr. as a New York Yankee playing shortstop this season. John Heyman says it's within the next 2 weeks. For the obvious, that is exciting. Now, I do want to bring back up the idea of him versus Volpe, and why should we get excited about just another Volpe? Well, with that logic, you know, why should I have been excited about Ben Rice when Greg Bird existed? Why should I be excited about Aaron Judge when Melky Cabrera existed? And Melky was actually pretty decent. I'm just giving examples. Like, just because one guy doesn't pan out doesn't mean we're never going to have a successful prospect again. I was reading a few comments yesterday, and there's a lot of valid points. Some were disagreeing, saying, I think you're crazy for saying Lombard has conquered AAA. I completely stand by that. I do. His OPS is now above 800 at AAA. And in the case of Volpe, fairness to him, the Yankees did probably rush him. Should he have been given that job out of spring training in 2023? I advocated for it, but I'm also not the GM. Probably not. Volpe didn't have enough seasoning at the AAA level. Nonetheless, though, He did not conquer that level. Lombard, what more can he do to prove to you that he's going to succeed there? does anybody doubt that Lombard's going to continue to rake at AAA and continue to play great defense like we know he's able to do in the big leagues as of spring training this year? And as of last year, he was a big league caliber defender. Doesn't mean he's going to succeed in the big leagues. But what it does mean is he's going to succeed at AAA. He's that good. How will it translate to the Yankees and being the shortstop? That remains to be seen, but not because of the fact, hey, it's only been, what, since May that he's been at AAA? It's a pretty decent sample size of games now, where his OPS is above 800. We saw the way he looked in spring training. We saw the way he looked at AA, got the quick promotion to AAA. That doesn't really concern me at all. As far as I'm concerned, George Lombard Jr. has conquered AAA. Now, there's that aspect compared to Volpe. Volpe really didn't. Probably not his fault. He just played well that spring training. And that wasn't a fantastic offseason for the Yankees, too. You re-signed Judge, you signed Rodon, but it wasn't like an incredible amount of hype. You just got swept by the Astros. And it kind of bailed the Yankees out of what was a mediocre-ish offseason besides re-signing Judge. It was, all right, we got this new kid, Anthony Volpe. You see the Jeter picks. He has good spring training. Peraza didn't. Shortstop was a big topic of conversation at the time. Like, all right, Volpe's a guy. That probably should not have happened. By now, we can say, I guess, definitively that it didn't. It should not have happened. But the point is, Volpe needed more time at AAA. Lombard, I don't think he does. Now, just continue to compare the two. I saw a comment yesterday that said something along the lines of when I refer to how we always hear Lombard is a dog. What I mean by that is not that the stats are good. Volpe had good stats too, although Lombard's far better. There is something that you can see in certain guys with, would it be a look in their eye, little minuscule plays that make a big difference come game's end, the way they go about their business, the way they talk. Besides just the obvious, from everything we hear from scouts and everything we hear from guys that watch them on a day-in and day-out basis, the way the Yankees are refusing to give them up in any trades, which you hear that, you'd be like, Dan, they did the same thing with Volpe. Fair enough. I get having a little bit of hesitancy by default because Anthony Volpe exists. But we can't just assume every single prospect is going to be a bust. And when I was mentioning the idea of trading away Lombard, one, heavily based off a principle about going all in. But two, when we were talking about the possibility of Tarek Skubal, which who knows what's happened with Skubal anymore. Apparently Dodgers are going to be going all in on him, which that would be devastating, but that's for another time. I would talk about the idea of trading Lombard, not because he might be a bust. I said at the time, Lombard may be a 10-time All-Star, and I would do him in this deal or that deal. He's not going anywhere, though, so we're going to talk about what is, and that's that he's coming soon. I anticipate Lombard to be really good, really good. Defensively, he's going to be the best shortstop we've had since, I mean, whichever way you want to go here. I mean, I'm trying to think back if anybody I'm missing. I mean, 2024 Volpe was really good. We don't got to get into the whole nitty and gritty of it, but in terms of true talent, glove, arm, I'm sorry, Derek Jeter was not a bad defensive shortstop in his prime. I don't care about retroactive defensive runs saved. He was not. So Lombard honestly will be the best defensive shortstop since Derek Jeter in his prime. And that does say something. I'm not talking about 2010 aging Jeter or these little 12-year-olds that pretend like a ground ball was hit to Jeter and, you know, you're all covering your eyes. It wasn't what it was. And I saw tail end Derek Jeter, and I knew even in that case, whatever. I expect Lombard to be good. Now, the October lineup, I'm not banking on Lombard being a savior for this team. What's going to exactly save this team? What do people mean by the savior? No, it's not about Lombard coming in and being the savior. Somebody commented that yesterday too. They're like, all of a sudden we're banking on a 21-year-old to be the savior. It's like, no, we're not. We just think he would make the team better. Am I banking on Ryan Jeffers, we'll talk about in a little bit, to be the savior? No, I think he just is better than Austin Wells. Simple as that. Simple as that. He's better. He'll make the team better. There you go. Do you want the better team or the worst team? Take your pick. That's why Lombard will be up here. That's why we want to get a catcher. That's why every single need exists. Nobody's the savior. It's not, you know, getting a brand new quarterback. It's a baseball team. We're creating a baseball team here, and we want to have the best shortstop possible in George Lombard Jr., so that's what's going to happen. You should call him up in the next 2 weeks. Is Camish Slitler the savior? No. Because he's one guy. Our rotation come the postseason as a whole is a savior, as a unit. The entire pitching staff is important. The entire lineup is important. The entire defense is important. In that case, Lombard makes it better. And offensively, let's be honest, we talked about this yesterday, but Volpe and Caballero. Well, you guys know, like, I prefer Caballero over Volpe. Neither of them have been great offensively really at all. They're both around a mid-600s OPS. That probably is, like, Lombard's floor. And I would bank on somewhere around that level of production, just to keep expectations low if you want to play that game. Expect really good defense. Expect really good intangibles. Expect high baseball IQ. That shouldn't go anywhere. Expect him to struggle out of the gate. But overall, like, we might see him put up a 650 OPS. But I don't think it'll be an excruciating watch early on in his career on a day-in and day-out basis. And right now, he's really hitting well. I thought they would have called him up possibly for this weekend, because the Yankees are facing four lefties in the next two series. Lombard rakes against lefties. John Heyman says the next 2 weeks. So ultimately, what we could be looking at here is hopefully a successful trade deadline. And then along with that, or immediately after, the call-up of George Lombard Jr. And then the return also of Carlos Rodon. And then the return in September of Aaron Judge, who is coming back. And then also Giancarlo Stanton. Seems like he's coming back as well. It's about the best team possible come October. George Lombard, the shortstop, contributes to that best team come October. With that all said, this is exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. I thought it was going to happen yesterday. I have the graphic ready. When the lineup dropped for the Rail Riders and Lombard wasn't in it, I got my computer all set up. Was going out to see the Odyssey at night, but I was like, I'm going to leave last minute possible, because if Lombard gets called up, I'm obviously doing a stream. And talk about the afternoon Yankee show. That would have been the dusk. Not dusk. What is dusk? Is dusk? Not at dawn? Whatever. I don't know. The 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Yankee show. Odyssey was really good. Let's move on to this, though. Couple trade deadline things here. So this is from Ken Rosenthal. He does say that acquiring Ryan Jeffers is the Yankees' top priority. Now, there was also a report out there that they did contact the A's about Shea Langeliers, and talks quickly stalled. These things are ever-changing. You know, like, we'll talk about Luis Arraez in a little bit, too. One team makes a move, opens up a door for another move. Somebody gets hurt, need becomes greater. All of a sudden, team has a change of heart, front office changes their mind. Like, things can change so quickly. But for right now, it definitely seems, this is what Ken Rosenthal is saying, that Ryan Jeffers is the Yankees' number one target, at least in terms of the catcher position, this trade deadline. Let's bring it back home to this, because you guys know I'm a big Ryan Jeffers fan. And I was very much on the Shea Langeliers train for a minute, and I still am. But just taking that report for what it is, that talks right now have stalled between the Yankees and the A's, or quickly stalled even at the phone call. So we'll just put that to the side for now. Back to Ryan Jeffers. Ryan Jeffers is really good. And to do a comparison here, which this doesn't really need to be shown, but for those that are maybe out of the loop a little bit and don't know, one, who Ryan Jeffers is, two, don't know how bad the Yankees' offensive production has been out of the catcher position, you look at, easy comparison here, what Austin Wells has done this year versus Ryan Jeffers. Now, Jeffers, he did miss some time with a hamate injury. He since has been back, and he's good to go. But for those listening later on audio only, Wells hitting 163, Jeffers 284. OPS, Wells 524, Jeffers 933. Six homers for Wells in 233 plate appearances, nine homers for Jeffers in 177. You look at the K rate, Austin Wells 26.6%, and just put Austin Wells to the side for a second just to celebrate this on its own. Ryan Jeffers 16.5% K rate. That is really good. That is well below league average. Jeffers hits both lefties and righties. He's not as great. Wells is a great defender. He is. Blocking, framing, all that. Wells is really good. Jeffers isn't as good, but he does have rapport with Tanner Swanson, our catching coordinator, from back in his days with the Twins, when Swanson used to be with the Twins. And people will talk about a lot. It's well documented by now that, like, a midseason acquisition of a catcher isn't ideal because you got to learn the pitching staffs. You got to learn, you know, get acclimated quickly before the playoffs. That very much is true. But Ryan Jeffers isn't, like, you know, he's not a, who's a bad defensive catcher. That one kid we traded to the Marlins who's, like, abysmal. Or whoever. There's a lot of bad defensive catchers. But Ryan Jeffers isn't that. He's not as good as Austin Wells, but the Yankees can work with him. He has rapport with Tanner Swanson. I don't worry too much about that. If there's one team that can make something happen quickly defensively with a catcher, I think it is the Yankees are up there. But offensively, Jeffers rakes. He hits lefties. He hits righties. He doesn't strike out a lot. He's got power. He's been one of the best hitting catchers in baseball for the last three or so years now. He's a rental, so it shouldn't cost all that much. With that said, maybe it will, because a lot of teams are in the market for his services. The Red Sox are in on Jeffers. I think the Rays apparently might be in on Jeffers, too. It does appear that the Twins are going to trade him somewhere. And unless it's the Yankees do get Shea Langeliers or Hunter Goodman, which I wouldn't expect, especially I don't expect Goodman. Langeliers, again, we're putting to the side a little bit for now because it seems like talks quickly stalled. If the Yankees, unless they get one of those two other guys, it'll be very bad if they do not acquire Ryan Jeffers, because I'm not trying to, you know, pivot to Tyler Stevenson of the Reds. I'm good. Jonah Heim, no. Kyle Higashioka, I love you, but no. Like, the floor of this deadline with the catcher is Ryan Jeffers, and that's a pretty damn good floor. And then you think about the lineup come October. I didn't think we finished this thought with Lombard, but what I was going to say about him is you want to make sure he gets here early enough to get acclimated, because he does struggle early on. And then hopefully by October, he's at least a competent at bat. But thinking about the lineup come October, it'll look very different than it looks right now. If we were to acquire Jeffers, all right, you have him batting either sixth or seventh. Lombard probably almost certainly bats ninth. You'll have Judge back. Ideally, knock on wood, you know, you have Stanton back. Hold DH against righties. The lineup can be quickly changed, not via Ryan Jeffers saving the Yankees, but you can win games by one mere RBI. Ryan Jeffers is good for that difference of one extra RBI compared to Austin Wells, and then some. But just making a point here, it's not about him being the savior. It's not about, you know, I've seen some insane post-deadline runs that players have gone on. Like 2013, Alfonso Soriano was insane for the Yankees in the second half after they acquired him. Ichiro, 2012, was insane for the Yankees after they acquired him. There's other examples, too, but like even other teams, like the Yoenis Cespedes in 2015, the Mets, like you don't need somebody to play to the level of where they get a statue erupted of them right after you acquired them at the trade deadline. Like, no, you just need them to make your team better. And Ryan Jeffers obviously would do that, whether it be a home run that wins us a game, and that home run could come in the second inning that Austin Wells did not hit. It could be getting the job done with bases loaded, one out, driving in a run via sack fly. An RBI single in the sixth inning that at the time made it a 7-1 game, but you end up winning that game by 7-6. Like, we want to make this offense better. We want to make this team better. Like, it's not rocket science here, yo. Like, Ryan Jeffers would improve this team. We know that. But it's not about the savior comments irritate. It's like, no, we don't need Lombard to be the savior. He makes us better. We don't need Jeffers to be the savior. He makes us better. It's a baseball team. It's not basketball. It's not football. Our best team come October is with an improved catcher, Lombard at short, and an extra reliever or two. And we'll see what else the Yankees do this deadline. But we know about the foundation of this team. It's heavily built on the pitching staff. That alone makes us very hard to beat and gives us a chance by default, no matter how bad this offense is looking right now. And guys on the team, by the way, have to step up. We know that. Bellinger's got to be better. Jazz consistently has to be better. There's many examples. Jason has to be better and whatever. Come October, like Max Fried, glad to have you back. Love you so much. Like, you can't give up seven runs in the division series. Like, that's how it rolls. Like, guys on the team also have to perform too. But at some point, it's clear and obvious there are holes, and we have to address those holes. The Yankees are planning on doing that. They're going to get a catcher. They're going to get multiple relievers. And again, we'll see what else they do. Speaking of, now this is interesting. So the Yankees apparently have, according to John Heyman, talked to the Giants about Luis Arraez. And, okay, word. I like that they're making the phone call. Heyman mentions, though, that New York is unsure how he would fit on the roster. And I guess that's fair, because for those who don't know, Luis Arraez, well, he's become a great defensive second baseman this year, and he's had a great year. Everything you know about Luis Arraez has been even that and more this year, with good defense, and he's hitting the runners. He's a great year. He only wants to play second base, which is like, all right, because he's improved so much there. He's worth a run Washington. I guess I do get that. That doesn't bug me all that much, or at least doesn't change much in my head, because to me, it's if the Yankees were to acquire Luis Arraez, it would be basically Arraez in, Jazz out. And not in terms of he'd be traded to the Giants or traded anywhere, but it'd just be like, if I'm acquiring Luis Arraez, it'd probably be to be my second baseman. I would not be having him play first. Ben Rice is my first baseman unless Paul Goldschmidt's also playing, which we'll see that against lefties in the playoffs. And then in that case, you would have Goldschmidt first, Rice at DH. So I wouldn't acquire Arraez to play first. Some would say you could DH him as like Stanton insurance. I don't hate the idea of that. I don't see... And this is why I've kind of faded a little bit on Arraez. Not me personally, but unless they were trading Jazz in another deal, I just don't see how that would work with both Arraez and Jazz in the roster. Like, if you acquired Arraez to be your second baseman and then tell Jazz, like, you're not our starting second baseman anymore, like, we're going to move you all over. I just, knowing how Jazz is, unless he's changed, and it does seem like maybe he's matured a little bit as of late, but I don't know. I don't think that would go over all that well with him, unfortunately. Like, you know, and it's not just a Jazz thing. We've seen that, like, with Glaber. When the Yankees acquired Jazz in 2024, Glaber, which I always loved Glaber up until this point, and then when I heard about this, I was like, all right, I'm done with you. See you later. Was when he said, I'm a second baseman. I'm not going to play third. The Yankees initially acquired Jazz wanting Glaber to play third, and Glaber wouldn't do it. Jazz, I mean, I don't see that going all that well. With that said, though, what would the Dodgers do? I feel like they would just acquire Rise anyways, have him on the team for, one, injuries could happen. God forbid something happens to Jazz. All right, you got a Rise right there. Or, more likely, or just to plan around this, if Stanton doesn't come back, again, the idea of a Rise at DH, that doesn't bother me really all that much at all. You could DH him against righties. He's a rental, so you just go out and acquire him. I don't know what the return would be. It wouldn't be insanely cheap, but it wouldn't be, like, anything that unbelievable that we'd be losing sleep over as fans, or I don't think the Yankees would either. I mean, whatever. I would just acquire Rise, period. Have him on the roster. It makes your team better as a pinch hitter, as a potential DH against righties if Stan doesn't come back. And then also, like, one, if Jazz gets hurt, but two, say Jazz doesn't figure it out the rest of the year and he goes into October with a 690 OPS. Well, if you want to, you could play Luis Rise at second base, who's a damn good defender as well. But that was interesting that John Heyman said that. One, it's cool that to hear the Yankees have checked in with him, on the Giants at least, with the Giants about Arise. And then also, what's interesting is that he says he's unsure, Yankees are unsure how he would fit on the roster. Which in a sense, like, makes sense, because it's like, you would acquire him to play second base. Well, you have a second baseman in Jazz, and if Jazz isn't going anywhere, we heard last week, I think it was from Heyman, that the Yankees like Jazz. So, like, that makes sense. I would just acquire him regardless, because he makes your team better. And it gives you insurance in many different ways than just one. You guys also know that have been watching me, I'm very much just, I prefer 2026 Luis Rise over 2026 Jazz Chisholm Jr. And it goes into the extra bat conversation. I want to get a catcher. I know the Yankees are going to get a catcher. I want an additional bat on top of that. If you were to tell me Jeffers and a Rise and then like a reliever or two, then we're really cooking. Now, also on the reliever front, this is from Bob Nightingale. Really quick on this. He does say that the Yankees are craving, that's a quote, craving Mason Miller. I don't doubt that. We're going to wait for another report to come out to talk more about that situation. We know the Yankees want him. We'll see if he actually does get traded somewhere. Remember, Jeff Passan said Miller is definitely available. We'll see how much the Padres really like our farm system and all that. We're not going to trade Lombard in that deal, so maybe that is then off the table. But you guys know I want Mason Miller bad. The deadline's a week from Monday, so you know we're live Monday through Friday. We'll have emergency episodes like whenever something big breaks. We'll continue to monitor all of that, but the main story from today is Lombard is coming up soon. Yankees, right now, their number one target, catching-wise, seems to be Ryan Jeffers. That's good. And they also checked out on Luis Arise, which, you know, I'm very much down for that. Yankees-Phillies tonight. 10-game road trip begins. And all of a sudden, Cam is starting game one tonight. Unless I was tweaking yesterday, and I feel bad, because somebody reached out to me saying they were buying tickets, when's Cam pitching? And I looked, and I made sure I got it right, and I said Saturday. Well, I checked MLB today. Now he's pitching tonight. Maybe it's because Warren pitched the other day, a few pitches, 10 pitches out of relief. Maybe that has something to do with it. Warren will now go on Saturday, I believe. Warren will go on Sunday. So tonight it's Cam Schiller versus Jesus Luzardo, the lefty, on Apple TV at 6:45. Saturday night is Weathers versus TBD. Sunday, 7:20 on Peacock/NBC. All these are night games, by the way. Warren versus Christopher Sanchez. Which Christopher Sanchez, one of the best pitchers in the NL. Remember, All-Star game, Cody Bellinger, 2-run single, Ben Rice, RBI single. So the Yankees, Yankee part of that lineup in the All-Star game to get to him. But nonetheless, yeah, Cam pitching tonight in game one. I mean, this series should be pretty box office. Obviously, 09, I don't know if you want to call it a rematch or not. It's not like A-Rod's playing third or whatever. But obviously, the Phillies have been really good. Yankees are starting to find their stride a little bit. Let's not ignore the fact they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. But Yanks 57-45, Phillies 56-47. And let me see really quick where the Phillies check in the NL East. 4.5 back the Phillies are of the Braves. So, a 10-game road trip. You got the four games after this against the White Sox Monday through Thursday. And then we have the Cubs next weekend. And then we have the trade deadline come a week from Monday on August 3rd. So, what is the expectation here for this series? Dude, it's simple. Just win 2 out of 3. Every single series, unless it's like a completely abysmal team, and maybe I'll say like, oh, sweep them. But in the end, like, I just want to win 2 out of 3. Win 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. We won 2 out of 3 last time, I believe, at the stadium. This is a 4-game set. We'll preview that again more on Monday, but like, take 3 out of 4 against them. Or, I mean, 4-game series are tough to preview. But going into all these series now, like, unless it's like a divisional matchup, we'll preview it more, but it's like, Phillies, they're a good team. This should be a fun series. All primetime games. Apple TV tonight. Win 2 out of 3. You know? As simple as that. And hopefully some guys start to step up offensively. And, you know, Rusty and even Bellinger is starting to get a little bit better. Jason finally had a big hit the other day. I've been calling him out a little bit for not capitalizing on Judge's absence. He had a big hit in the game two against Pittsburgh. Volpe, nice little RBI single. Volpe's day some numbers. I mean, that's going to be very interesting come October. I mean, I don't think there's really any world possible. Truly, not just saying this. I don't think Volpe can realistically be on the postseason roster. I just don't see how it happens. And that was honestly even before the call-up idea of Lombard. Assuming Stanton comes back and all that. Because, I mean, you're going to have a catcher on the bench. You're going to have, I mean, unless they were to go with Volpe over Rosario. Well, that's a show for another time. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode, though. Live Monday through Friday. We'll be live a lot going forward, probably more than just the normal 5 days a week. Time frames might be a little bit weird because, you know, trade deadline, sometimes news breaks. You know, if Lombard were to get called up, like, we'll do a show right away. But yeah, remember to click like on the stream. It does help out a great deal. We're available on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, all that. And I think that's all I got for this one. We didn't talk much about the Caballero pitch clock drama. I'm kind of over it in a sense, like from MLB's end, like he's playing by the rules. Like, what's a big deal? Caballero, I hope he keeps doing it, though. I have no problem with it. Like, he's playing by the rules. It's like if your speed limit is 50 miles an hour and you're going 50 miles an hour, like you're playing by the rules. That's the legal, the law, whatever. Anyways, that's the end of this episode, though. Lombard soon. Jeffers, number one option. Arise, Yanks did contact, but unsure how he fits. And then 10-game road trip starts tonight. Yankees, Phillies, and Citizens Bank Park. Cam on the bump tonight. I will see you guys later. And until then, let's go Yanks.